Not the way most people think. Most people think if I just had this, I'd be content. And if I could get that, I would be content. And if this happened, I would be content. That's not the key to contentment. Contentment is not to get more, but it's to want less. Amen. It's when you get to the place that you count your blessings. And when you get through counting your blessings, you say, what more could I want? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You ever been there? Hallelujah. Next time you get the gimmies, just start counting your blessings. Amen. Just start telling the Lord, Jesus, I thank you because I got this and you gave me that and you blessed me here and you sent this into my life, and just begin to thank him for all the good things that he's already done. Hallelujah. And when you get through giving thanks, it'll seem like, well, what more could I ask for? Hallelujah. Whatever it was that was on my mind, it doesn't seem important anymore. Amen. My, what a good God we serve tonight. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 29, verse number 31. Genesis, chapter 29, verse number 31. It said, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved or hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And then she stopped bearing. I would like to preach tonight on this subject, from pain to praise. From pain to praise. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Life's not fair. I think one of the first phrases children learn is, that's not fair. Anybody ever heard that one? I've heard adults still acting like children. You ought to figure that out by now. Life's not fair. It's not a level playing field. You get in situations that you didn't ask for and you don't deserve. Circumstances put you in situations that you there's nothing you can do about it. That was the life of Leah. Leah was born into a family and she was the elder daughter. Her father was named Laban. You don't know people. We know bits and pieces. I'm sure that there was good in Laban's life. But Laban, like a lot of people, thought he had to manipulate his way through life. Laban was the kind of man that was saw life as a taking situation, that he was out to get everything he could. As the fellow said, get all you can all you get. Hang on to it. He was a taker, not a giver. And Leah was a fatality in his family. Her very name. How would you like to be called weary? Hello, weary. Good morning, weary. Fine day, weary. Her name meant weary. I guess her mom named her after a long delivery. I don't know. But that was her name. Leah means weary. And so her name was not good. And then, of course, wouldn't you know that she had a little sister that was beautiful. And everything was just right for Rachel. And the favor fell upon Rachel. And Leah was pushed into the background. James Dobson wrote in one of his books, I forget the name of it, that he said that appearance or beauty is the golden coin of human worth. And we find that to be so. Amen. People that are well favored with beauty are people that have a step up in life. It's not all there is, but it is. They're more favored than others. We know that to be true. Everybody say, life's not fair. If somebody that is less comely and somebody that's very beautiful apply for the same job, with the same qualifications or even less, we all know who most likely will get the job, unless the wife's doing the hiring. Somebody said that women would rather be beautiful than smart, because men can see better than they can think. Amen. Beauty, it's something that comes and there's not anything you can do about it. Like Oscar Wilde, who wrote the poem, he said, as for beauty, I'm no great star. There are others more handsome by far, but my face, I don't mind it. I'm the one that's behind it. It's the folks out front that I jar. He had the right idea. Don't get down about something you can't do anything about. Amen. Amen. You can do very little about your looks. Amen. Well, I could go on. It just keeps coming here. I better not. I'm digging a hole. Quick. Amen. But Leah, she was one of those people that was not a level playing field. A young man, a handsome young man, appeared in the family and obviously and immediately fell in love with Rachel. Amen. And of course, Leah was almost invisible. And so he gets to work and starts working for her father. And one day he says, I like the way you work. What would you ask me to pay you just to stay on here? And oh, Jacob, you talk about a classic love story. I don't know what he was thinking, but Jacob said, I will work for you 7 years free if you'll just give me Rachel as my wife. Now that's a great love story. I figured that out, and just at minimum wage, that would come to about $87,000. How many of you'd pay $87,000? Now, don't, wives, close your eyes. $87,000 for your bride. Amen. Yeah, you're saying that now. Amen. And that's at minimum wage. Amen. And so Jacob really loved Rachel. And so he put his heart into it and he worked, and it was as if time flew by and 7 years passed so quickly, and the wedding day came, and oh, there was excitement in the air, and it was finally payday, and he was so excited, and the wedding went on, and then the morning came, and lo and behold, the woman in his arms was not Rachel. It was Leah. Oh, he was somewhat upset. And so he goes to Laban, actually his uncle. And he says to Laban, he says, "What in the world have you done?" I'm telling you, he was upset. Smoke coming out of his ears. He was hot. He said, "What in the world have you done?" And Laban said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. We have this custom here. You know, I thought surely that in 7 years somebody had come along and take Leah off my hands. But since nobody came along, she's the eldest and she had to get married first. We can't help it. That's the law of the land. But I'll tell you what. If you want Rachel, just work 7 more years for me." Nearly $200,000 worth of free labor. Amen. I'm telling you, Jacob loved Rachel. Amen. But the Bible says that he hated Leah. How would you like to live your life with the man that every time he saw you, he would not speak kindly? He'd ignore you if he could. He'd look past you. When he saw your little sister, the light would come on in his eyes. A smile would skip across his face. And love language would begin to pour out of his mouth. That was Leah's life. And the worst of all is that she fell in love with Jacob. It was a painful situation to live like that. But I love this verse that we read beginning this text tonight. It says, "When the Lord saw," everybody say, "the Lord saw." Whatever's going in your life, the Lord sees. Whatever you're going through, God sees. Whatever's not fair, God sees. All of your difficulty and all of your pain, God sees. It says the Lord saw Leah was hated and he opened her womb. In other words, God blessed her. Amen. God blessed her. But you know what? If you're not careful, the blessing of the Lord won't be enough. As a matter of fact, she used God's blessing as a coin of competition against her sister. She used the blessings of God to try to curry favor with the man that did not love her. God began to bless her, and her first son was born. And you know what she called him? She called him Reuben. She was saying, "Now my husband will see me. Now he's going to love me." You see, she didn't understand her own worth. She gauged her worth by the look in her husband's eye and didn't understand, "Oh, the blessing of God is pouring out on me. The Lord loves me. The Lord sees me." But instead, she called him, "Oh, now he's going to see me. Now he's going to pay attention to me." And she said, "Now will my husband love me. Because I have given him a son and my sister can't do that." And then another son was born. And the next son, she said, she called him Simeon. She said, "Now my husband will hear me." Simeon means hear me. She said, "Now my husband's going to hear me. Now he's going to love me." No. He still loved Rachel. He still looked through Leah, almost as if she was not there. Third son was born. And so she calls his name Levi. And she said, now my husband will be joined to me. Now he'll be my companion. Now my husband will love me. And instead, same pain. The same pain. Amen. You understand what's going on? Anybody ever, you ever had to go through something where you just wondered, why do I have to live, and why is my life such a battle? Why do I struggle so much? Why has it been so hard for me? Looks like everybody else has got it easier. And my way so hard. Why? I've had to endure so much pain. I've had to go through so many things. Why? Why did God do this? Why did that happen? Why am I not like somebody else? We preached a few services ago about the 73rd Psalm of Asaph when he said, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, he said, my steps had well nigh slipped. He got to looking around thinking, look what I've got, and I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to be a good person. And look around, all these people that don't care about anybody but themselves, and they're prospering, and everything seems to be easy for them. Hey man, it's easy to fall into that category. It's easy to look at your pain. And that's what Leah was doing. She just kept reliving the pain and thinking, well, I can surely just, my husband, I know he's going to love me. If I'll do this, he'll love me. If I do that, he'll love me. You hear me today? That you can't work your way into somebody's heart like that. Right. Amen. And especially when you're just devouring them. Young people, let me give you a little bit of advice. If you really like somebody, amen, and you just keep pursuing them, you'll probably scare them half to death. The more you pursue, the more they want to run. Amen, they got to have some breathing space. James Dobson, in one of his other books, wrote a story about him and his own courtship. He loved his wife wasn't his wife, but at that time his girlfriend, but he really wanted her to be his wife, and so he began to pursue her, and he just put so much pressure on her, she started backing off. And it looked like he was going to lose her. He loved her so much, he just about loved her to death. And all of a sudden somebody said, son, if you'll just back up and give her some room. So he just kind of withdrew, got cool. And when she saw he wasn't pursuing her anymore, guess what happened? She started pursuing him. Amen. Yeah, just don't try too hard. Amen. You see, you can't to really put love in a cage. You can't bind it. It's a free thing. You can't force it. It either is or it's not. Amen. And so Leah just, she used the gifts of God and the blessings of God, but she was not content. She was not happy. She was still miserable and still in pain. But somewhere along the way, the light came on. And she began to understand, I cannot help what my husband does. I can't live his life. I can't gain his attention. I can't win his love. Amen. But somewhere she got it. And she got the message. But there is somebody that does love me. He already loves me. I don't have to do anything else. He already loves me. Amen. And she began to understand I don't know if Jacob will ever love me, but I know that the Lord loves me. I know that my God loves me. Look, He's prospered me and He's blessed me. And she began to count her blessings and look through her pain, and she began to praise the Lord. That's so beautiful. In that 35th verse, she conceived again and bore a son and said, Now, I will praise the Lord. She's not worried about Jacob anymore. Honey, it doesn't matter what you think anymore. I may never win your favor, but I know that the Lord loves me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. If He's on my side, I'm going to make it through. And there's nothing in this world that can bring me down. Amen. She understood and she began to pray. Amen. I don't know if your life has been filled with pain, if it's been unfair and uphill. Let me tell you how to get happy and how to have joy and how to have worth in your life. Just begin to praise. I don't understand, but I'll praise you. It's been unfair, but I'll praise you. I feel unloved, but I'll praise you. I don't know what this is going to do for the future, but I'll praise you. I may never get what I want, but I'll praise you. Praise brings victory, and praise brings joy. And the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How do you get joy in your life? Joy comes through praise. Brother Billy Cole told a person one time, they spoke in tongues. And he said, wow, God gave you the Holy Ghost. And they said, well, I don't feel like I got the Holy Ghost. He says, well, the feeling will come when you believe you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people are out looking for a feeling. Forget the feeling. Amen. Just praise. Hallelujah. Just praise. Amen. Somebody said getting the Holy Ghost is like buying shoes. Some people are seeking tongues. Amen. Well, you buy a pair of shoes, normally they're going to have tongues. Amen. You don't ask for them, they just come with a shoe. Amen. So you'll get to praising God. Get lost in praise. Give Him everything that you got. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, you'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise. Amen. Leah learned the secret of going from pain to praise. Now, it wasn't all over. Amen. Once when you praise God, you learn something valuable. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have down days. That doesn't mean that you're not ever going to feel pain again. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems or that your problems are going to go away. Rachel was still there, the little booger. And she said, well, this is a competition here. As a matter of fact, did you know what? Rachel got mad at her husband because she didn't have a son. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, but he knew that was insanity. And he said, honey, I'm not God. I can't make something happen. I mean, it's obvious there wasn't anything wrong with Jacob. Leah's popping them out like footballs. Wasn't Jacob's problem. Obviously the problem with Rachel. But she's blaming it on her husband, not God. Amen. And so she says, you know what? I'm not going to lose this competition. So she had this handmaid. And so she gives the handmaid to Jacob as a wife. And she says, now, you'll have surrogate sons through my handmaid. And then you'll then I'll be on top again. I'll be winning the competition. Isn't it amazing what people will compete over? You know what came to me the other day? That church is not about competition. It's about cooperation. Amen. We're not in this thing to see who can praise the loudest, run the fastest, jump the highest, sing the best, preach the best, play an instrument the best. It's not a competition. And if you're competitive, you got the wrong spirit. Amen. Did you know that winning a competition like that will make you proud? Amen. If you think you sing better than somebody else, you need to go pray through. Amen. Now, we can't help but make comparisons. Amen. And if you sing well, you know it. If you don't, hopefully you know it. Amen. But sing anyway. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see the competition going on here? Rachel's handmaid gave Jacob two sons. Well, then all of a sudden Leah saw that she wasn't producing anymore, so she gave him her handmaid. And two more sons were born. And then God smiled again on Leah, and she had two more sons. Now there's 12 of them little rascals. Amen. But guess what? Six of them with the blessings of Leah. Amen. Did she win his favor? I don't know. Well, tragically, finally the womb of Rachel was open. A son by the name of Joseph was born. And then a son by the name of Benjamin was born. But in giving birth to Benjamin, Rachel the beloved died. Jacob built a mighty memorial sarcophagus that contained the body of Rachel. And it's still there. I saw it a few years ago when I was in Israel. That's still there after all these years. And he buried Rachel there. And time went on. We don't know exactly how long Leah lived, but it seems that she lived to be an old grandma. Amen. And God blessed her with time and with years, and she saw her children grow, become strong and stately men. But then came the time when Rachel and Leah died. And the Bible says, Jacob buried Leah in the tomb with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah, and he buried her in the tomb with them, a place of great honor. Well, Jacob lived on. And then he called his family together as the years grew and his eyes grew dim and his strength had dissipated. He called his boys together in Genesis 49. He pronounced blessings upon them, each one. And then he begins to give his last words, especially concerning what should be done to him and what he wanted to do and where he wanted to be. They drew close because his breath undoubtedly was quickly going away. His voice was very weak. Leaning in, he said this, Genesis 49, verse 29, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And then he says it. And there I buried Leah. It was as if Jacob was saying, here in life, it was all about Rachel. But when I see eternity, it's about Leah. I spent my life with Rachel, but I want to be buried with Leah. I guess she finally won. Amen. His sons would have done whatever he asked them to do. But he said, bury me with Leah. Amen. Sometimes it takes time for people to really see the value. You know, some people are very attractive in the short run, short term. And again, young people, be very careful about choosing a mate. Everything that glitters is not gold. There are some things that are more important than outward looks. And you can learn a lesson from God. The Bible says the Lord looketh on the heart. And one way that you can know how somebody's going to treat you is to watch how they treat other people. And one way you'll know how they're going to talk about you is how they talk about other people. And look how they treat people that really can't do anything for them. Somebody that cannot advance their career or give them some place of favor. Watch how they treat waitresses and waiters. Amen. Watch how they tarry around the altar. Watch how they praise. I said, watch how they praise. I said, watch how they praise. Watch how they worship. Amen. Does their worship end when the music stops? Or can they sit on the pew while the preacher's preaching and still worship and say, that's right, brother, preach it. Amen. Hallelujah. Can they worship in the altar when it's all over? Hallelujah. Amen. You don't need a prima donna that can worship on the platform but doesn't have time to spend in the pew. That when the show's over, they're ready to go home. Because everybody's heard me now. And it's all about them. Be careful. Amen. And don't let that get in your eye. And don't let that get in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Again, watch the altar. Find somebody that's in love with the altar. Because this is where battles are won right here. This is where stability comes into your life, right here. This is the foundation for the future, right here. Amen. It's not at the water fountain. And it's not in the fellowship hall. And it's not out in the dark parking lot. It's right here. Amen. This is where we need to be until church is over. And this is where we need to be until church is over. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Need to be like that little old lady. Oh, and she was shouting. She was worshiping. She was praising God. And, the service, you know how services are. They're like waves. And woo. And then all of a sudden things calmed down a little bit. She didn't calm down. She just kept on going. Everybody else. And the pastor, it's time to go. And he said, sister, he said, we need to move on now. Please sit down. She just ignored him. She just kept going. And he got a little firm. He said, sister, I said it's time to sit down. And she just kept going. And he got a little louder. He said, sister, did you hear me? I said it's time to sit down. And she just kept on going. He said, now that's what I call dancing in the spirit. When you're that far out. Praise the Lord. Now that's pretty rare. Let me tell you how we handle that little situation. If somebody's so far out that they can't listen, then it's time to just get them by the arm and usher them out the door and back to the prayer room and shout on. Amen. That's all right, isn't it? Amen. Because there needs to be order. Praise God. We don't want to spend the whole night watching somebody else shout when you may need something from the Word of the Lord. They may need to shout, but you may need a word from the Lord. Amen. So it's okay. Just usher somebody out, go on back to the prayer room. I've seen services where somebody get down here. I mean, they were under burden, bawling and squalling and tears and everything. And amen. But it was time to go on. What do? You just get some precious elders and say, let's go back and pray and take them back and pray. Amen. And then we'll go on out here and we'll have church. Is that okay? It's all right, isn't it? Amen. I don't know how we got in that, but we did. So just... Amen. But that's good stuff. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. My, that's good right there. Hallelujah. Fall in love with the altar. And if you're going to fall for somebody that's in the altar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If anything's going on in church, this is where we need to be right here. Amen. From 4 to 96. Amen. Something's going on. You need to be right here. Amen. There's nothing more important out there. So somebody's trying to get you to go out there, you say, well, you go ahead. I just need to get to the altar. Oh, I need to tell you something. Well, you can tell me later. I need to get to the altar. And you need to come with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise! 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 That's how you get through your pain. Praise! I knew a young man, Houston, Texas, come to church, got the Holy Ghost. First time. Ever been in a Pentecostal church? He was so excited he got the Holy Ghost. Got baptized. Went back home, told his mom and dad. They got so upset with him. He said, you're not ever going back to that church again. As long as you live in this house, you're not going to that church. He was in high school. Couldn't go to church. You know what? So the church went to him. Amen. When mom and dad would leave, he'd call us over, not for a party, but for a prayer meeting. And we'd go over and we'd pray with him. We'd worship with him. And we'd put a little word in there. And praise God, encourage him. You know what? That young man made it through high school. Now, I know. I hear people tell me all the time, oh, it's so hard. You just can't hardly make it. Yes, you can. God's grace is sufficient. I'm not saying it's not hard, but I'm saying God's grace is sufficient. Amen. He made it through high school. Amen. Praise the Lord. And his parents said, you can't go. I will help you pay for your college and your education, but you can't go to church. We will not support you if you go to church. He said, well, good, Mom and Dad. I can take care of that. So he paid for his own education. Amen. But he went back to church. Hallelujah. And he's still serving God till this day. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he fell in love with an altar. Nothing stopped him. I'm telling you what, when he got to church, you talk about somebody ready to worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying to you tonight, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know what's coming in the near future, but you know we're on some shaky ground right now. The United States of America's never been where it is right now. We are at a pivotal point in our history. Amen. And the next 2 or 3 years is going to tell the story. It's going to tell the story. Amen. We will perhaps continue as a nation, but will not be what we were. There are things being put in motion right now that may very well affect our future. We take this religious liberty for granted here. But did you know it could be taken away from us? It could be taken away from us. Amen. It could be that we could have to start having some house meetings. But you know what? Do you know you can serve God in your house just like you can serve God in a church building? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just how much does this mean to us? You know, we're having a real hard time right now paying our bills. We're not quite paying our bills, as a matter of fact. Every month we're just hanging in there, just barely get our head above water, and when the bills come in, we go back underwater. Amen. But what would happen if all of a sudden government steps in and says, you know what? It's not fair. We're going to start taxing churches. Would we be able to make a sacrifice to do that? Would we step up and dig a little deeper? I'm just giving you something to think about tonight. Amen. Just kind of telling you where we are. Amen. Could be that we might determine, hey, it's not worth it. Praise God, I'm already paying taxes on my house. We'll just have church over here. Amen. They tell me that in China sometimes they'll get together at somebody's house and they'll play volleyball. Well, outside they're playing volleyball. Inside they're worshiping the Lord. And they're making a lot of noise out there so they can cover up what's going on inside. Then after this one has church, they go play volleyball and the other ones move in and have church. There's all kinds of ways to have church. Amen. So I'm just letting you know tonight, if you want to make it, there's no reason that you can't make it. There's nothing that's ever stopped the church of God. Amen. It's just determined whether I want to be in that church or not. God's going to have a church. I want to be in that church. Hallelujah. Hey, Leah learned how to praise God through a pain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, was it worth it? This is very interesting. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became 12 tribes. Remember? In Israel. I like the little boy. He said, I read about the children of Israel, how they built the tabernacle, and the children of Israel, they fought their enemies, and the children of Israel went in. And then he asked, how come there wasn't any adults? What were they doing? It's always the children of Israel. Amen. Well, some of you will get it a little later, maybe. If you need clarification, just ask. I'll help you. Amen. And the children of Israel and 12 tribes. 721 B.C., the 10 northern tribes. After Solomon's death, the kingdom split. 10 northern tribes went with Jeroboam. 2 southern tribes went with Rehoboam. 721, did you know that from the time that they rebelled against God and set up their altar in Dan and began to worship that image, did you know from that time that never again, that they never had not one good king, not one good queen. They stayed in idolatry from that point on. And they had prophets. God spoke to them. But as a nation, 721 B.C., the Syrians came in, conquered them. They went into obscurity, and only God knows where they are today. There were 2 southern tribes. One was called Judah. Praise. Hallelujah. The other one was called Benjamin. Judah was the son of Leah. Benjamin was the son of Rachel. Over time, They just became one tribe. But guess what they were called? They were called Judah. Praise the Lord. They went into captivity in the first time in 636 and later in 606. The rest were carried into captivity. They were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years and they came back. You know what? For all of those years, they were like a roller coaster. They'd serve God and they'd get blessed and then they'd forget God and they'd go into idolatry and they'd cry out and God would deliver them and they would be blessed and they would forget God and they'd go back into idolatry and they'd cry out in repentance and God would bless them and they'd get into idolatry and it's just like that, their whole history. But after they went into captivity in Babylon for 70 years, when they came back, their minds were made up. And Israel never had another problem with idolatry. They were established. Amen. That's the power of praise. All the rest of the tribes went into obscurity. Amen. Praise lived on. Praise lived on. Amen. We do have to learn how to praise God through pain. I'm closing. I love the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Unjustly beaten, arrested, thrown into prison. Their backs were bleeding because they had been beaten with whips. Here they were in that old, dark, damp prison cell. Now, I don't know what they did until midnight. They might have complained and they might have hurt. Amen. I know they were hurting. I don't know what happened before midnight, but the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises. Amen. Now, you know, it's hard not to complain a little bit. I know that. It's hard not to want to talk about your troubles a little bit. I know that. I understand. Amen. But somewhere, you got to quit complaining. And you got to quit murmuring. And you got to start praising. So about the midnight hour, for whatever reason, the Bible said Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God. Hallelujah. I love it. I just think the old preacher told it so very well. I'll borrow this from him. He said that Paul and Silas started singing. And God was sitting on his throne. Amen. When he heard their praise, he turned to angels and he said, "Angels, listen, isn't that a beautiful sound?" Amen. And then God started tapping his foot. Amen. You know, the Bible said that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And so God started tapping his foot. He must have been tapping right about where Philippi was, because the Bible said there was an earthquake. God tapped the earth and the doors flew open. Hallelujah. Their stocks and their bonds fell off and they stood up. And they were delivered. Amen. That's how you praise your way through pain. Unjust, unfair, unrighteous, undeserved. But at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises. Amen. Somewhere you got to do it. Somewhere you got to do it. Someplace you got to just... You got to pull it together and say, enough of this. I've had all I'm going to take. Amen. I'm going to go to church and I'm not going to have a prayer meeting. I'm going to have a praise meeting. Have you ever tried to pray and you couldn't pray? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You ever tried to pray and it seemed like your prayers would go about right about here and it'd fall back and hit you right on top of the head? It just seemed like the heavens were brass. You know what you do when you get in that situation? You quit praying. But you don't leave. You get up. And you just start praising the Lord. And you just start thanking God. You don't ask Him for anything.
ask him for anything. There's times you ought to come to prayer meeting at times and there shouldn't be one request out of your mouth. It ought to all be about him. Lord, I'm just going to come here today and I'm just going to tell you thank you for all the thing that you've already done, and thank you because of all that you are. And just begin to praise him and give him thanks, and there's not anybody here, and it's just you and the Lord. Amen. That's beautiful praise when you do that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. Prayer and praise is more powerful. I was quite young. A church I grew up in, our pastor had gone to another place, and we were between pastors. And that's a dangerous place for a church to be. We need a shepherd. So we were kind of in between pastors, and thank God we had some little sisters in our church that knew how to pray. My mama was one of them. I went to that prayer meeting not by choice. That was one of those times I was drug. I went to that prayer meeting and those little sisters got to praying. My mom and Sister Orva, amen, and Sister Jackson, and just sweet little old ladies. They got to praying, and the next thing I knew, they just went crazy. But I couldn't see what they saw. I watched them, they pull their little hankies out, and they'd run all over the church, and they'd run over here, and they'd start slapping the wall. And then they'd run back over here, madness in their eyes. They'd start swatting the wall. What in the world? Have you, I know you're crazy, but have you completely lost? And I got to talking to my mom when it was over. She said, you didn't see it. I said, what? She said, there were little devils all along the wall, and they were laughing at us. And said, but when we took those hankies out and we went after them in Jesus' name, she said they started squealing and they ran out of there. That's what praise will do. Amen. Are you tired of the devil being on your back? Run him out. You tired of letting him control your life? Run him out. Get your praise on. Start worshiping. Start praising God. Hallelujah. There's power in your praise. You can go from pain to praise. Now, I will praise the Lord. I don't know if Jacob's ever going to love me. I don't know if he's ever going to accept me. But I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't know if everything's going to be all right between Rachel and I, but I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't know if I'm going to have any more sons, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. From pain to praise. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. Amen. I will praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. You, O Lord, will I magnify. You, O God, will I glorify in my victories and in my defeats, in my triumphs and in my tragedies, on the mountaintop and in the valley, in the sunshine and in the rain. But I will praise the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. In my sickness and in health, I'll praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll praise you, Lord. I'll praise you in the church house. And I'll praise you in the jailhouse. Wherever I am, however I can, I'll praise you, Lord. 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 I love you, I love you. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I praise, I praise you alone, you're worthy, you alone are worthy. Oh, I will praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord, Jesus. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. That's all right, let's just praise him a little bit tonight. Amen, we have nothing else to do. Amen, hallelujah. Certainly nothing better to do. It's time just to praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, I will praise you. I will praise you. I will praise you. I'll praise you with my voice. I'll praise you with my actions. I'll praise you with my words. I'll praise you with my deeds. Help me to praise you with all of my life. Help me to praise you in my home. Help me to praise you in the marketplace. Help me to praise you on the job. Let me praise you in the school. Let me praise you in the church. Let me praise everywhere I go. Everything that I do. Let there be a praise. 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 Let there be a praise.
I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has. what it has in store. I know I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
I will praise the Lord.
No matter what. We'll praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to lift you up as long as I have breath.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No matter what,
oh, yes, Jesus.
As long as I have breath to sing for Hallelujah. You, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Yes.
Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. As long as I have breath, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. No matter what. Long as I have breath to sing for you, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Amen.
Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. As long as I have breath, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. No matter what the rest of the world will do, as long as I have breath to sing for you, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
As long as I have breath,
oh God,
Lord, I'm gonna lift
you see the pain. You see the
no
problem.
The rest
you
of
see the troubles.
You long know as the I environment. Have for you
you
Lord,
know what
I'm
we live in.
You
see our difficulties.
Lord,
God,
I'm gonna
you're going to
you
help us.
Up.
You're going
as long
to help
as
us.
I have breath, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Yes,
no matter what the rest of the world will do, as long as I have breath to sing for you, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
I'm gonna lift you up,
Lord,
Jesus.
I'm gonna lift you up,
Jesus. I'm gonna lift you up, Jesus. I'm gonna lift you up, Jesus. I'm going to praise you, Jesus.
No matter what the rest of the world will do,
I'm going to praise you, Jesus.
Lord,
we pray right now. We need your help.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah.
Glorify the name of the Lord.
your banner I will lift on high forever and ever. And when my life on earth is done, and when my battles have been won, I'll sing your praise around the throne forever and ever. Oh, evermore I will love you, evermore I will serve you, evermore I will glorify the name of the Lord. Evermore I adore you, evermore I bow before you, I will bless your name forever.
Every blessing you pour out.
darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Take away
your heart.
You give and take away.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though the pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out,
one of the hardest songs to sing, and he sang the whole song. Everybody can join and sing, "The Lord giveth," in praise. The second verse gets a little harder, "And the Lord taketh away," in praise. And the third verse is harder still, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's easy to say that when he's given, but it's a little harder to sing that when he's taken away. Amen. But you can do it. You can do it. Amen. When you're convinced that the Lord knows best. Anybody convinced of that tonight? That the Lord knows best? Amen. Pray. I'm convinced that he knows better than I know. Amen. God's been good to us.